We got it.
We'll have this share on film. All right. Morning. I say it's difficult to decide what to talk about, what to focus on, but this week a number of things happened during the course of the last week that brought me to this share. Somebody called me and said that he's writing an article for Jewish Action based on something that I had said in a share that I gave 19 years ago, and he wanted to go over it. He wanted to go over it and check out the information. And he sent me a copy of the article, and there at the beginning, the first footnote is, this is based on what I heard from Rabbi Sharon Gold, etc., etc. Okay, so I'll get honorable mention. A few days after that, a son-in-law of mine wrote over and typed out a share of mine, and lo and behold, it's the share that includes this same idea. Twice, that's lightning striking twice. And then I had a third. You'll understand soon everything. You'll understand soon. And then there was another instance that came to my attention of terrible, terrible lashon hara against a great rabbi in this country. And my original article and my original shiur was about a worse than lashon hara is Moshe Shemra. You make something up. It never happened. It wasn't true. So where does it all begin? You know where it all begins. In April 1st, 1925, was the opening of the Hebrew University on Mount Scopus. There were between 6,000 to 7,000 people who had joined together for that great ceremony. Amongst those who were at the ceremony was, of course, Lord Balfour. Balfour Declaration. General Allenby, the High Commissioner Herbert Samuel. The chairman of the event was Dr. Chaim Weizmann. And there was a little problem with the opening speech. The invocation was to be given by Rav Avraham Yitzchok HaKohen Kuf, who was the chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael at the time. But they were a little bit concerned about him having been given an invocation, because they were concerned, who knows what this man is going to say. Here, the world has gathered around Scopus. Now, these former rabbis, they can't be trusted. But they wanted him originally to be present. But he insisted, he says, I'm not going to be present unless I can speak. If I can't speak, I'm not coming. It would have been too big of a design for him to be present and not to speak. So they agreed that he will not speak. And he will speak. I'm already getting confused. Bella, what that for? I'm not getting like. Boy, that looked pretty good on this film. It was on Mount Scopus. It was originally built there. It was only when the Jordanians captured many years later in 1948, they captured the old city and Haratzofim, that they rebuilt the campus completely on Givat Ram. And then, of course, Six-Day War, they ended up with two campuses. I thought that sounds better. Two campuses. All right. What emerged from Rav Herzog's speech, Rav Cook's speech, okay. All right. was that in a magazine that was printed in the city of Satmar, 3 years later, 1928, somebody created a fiction, and the fiction simply kept going, most probably on Hayom Hazeh. And that was that the Rav Kook said about the Hebrew University, Ki Mitzion Teitzei Torah Udvar Hashem Yerushalayim. That's the last thing that came out of the Hebrew University. The last thing. The Hebrew University has been, from its inception, a hotbed of kfira apikursis, biblical criticism, all sorts of left-leaning people. The original founders of the and president of the Hebrew University were opposed to any idea of a Jewish state. Don't ask. I think there's an ad in today's Jerusalem Post, and I forget why the ad is there, outlining all of the terrible things that have emerged from the Hebrew University. So of course here they say that Rav Kook got up and he said, Ki Mitzion Teitzei Torah Udvar Hashem Yerushalayim. So the best that they can be accusing him of is that he's so blind. The man was so blind, he couldn't see what was taking place before his very eyes. How did all of this first hit me? Because there was some shiur that was given in the yeshiva, and somebody brought me a tape of it, and one of the things that was said on the shiur was this. Can you imagine? That Rav Kook said, Ki Mitzion Teitzei Torah from Zion shall go forth Torah, and the word of God from Yerushalayim. That ain't Torah. What a terrible mistake he made. How couldn't he see what was going to be? And therefore, simply, you wipe the floor with Rav Kook. All right? As soon as I heard this in this year, I knew that the man never read the shiur. Never read the invocation. The fact happens to be that the invocation that was given by Rav Kook on that April 1st, 1925 was one of the most courageous speeches any Chov ever gave. He got up there and he said very clearly, there always have been two kinds of institutions in Israel. The yeshiva, the place of Torah, and on the places of Torah, therein lie the foundations of all of Yahadut. There were other institutions who set themselves up as sort of a bridge between the Jewish people and the rest of the world, where they would send Jewish messages out and receive in the great wisdom of the world. So he said very clearly, those kind of institutions and their leaders disappeared from the face of the Jewish world completely. Everything depends on Torah. And therefore he said to them, anything that has to do with the study of Tanakh has to be on Tarat HaKodesh. There have to be Limudei Kodesh in that university, and they have to be according to the Mesorah of Klal Yisrael for all generations. Otherwise, it may be a tragedy for the Jewish people. That's, I would say that 6,000 to 7,000 people who have seated on the slopes of Mount Scopus and have come from all over the world for the great opening of the Hebrew University, those were pretty tough, sharp words to say. He minced no words. He made it very clear. And then at the end of the speech, as we are always wont to end the speech, you end with a number of very beautiful terms about, you know, we look forward in Yetzir Hashem to the coming of the Mashiach, and we look forward to a period of time at which Ki Mitzion takes a Torah oath by Hashem Yerushalayim that from Zion shall go forth Torah and the word of God from Jerusalem. That came at the end of the speech. Nobody, there was no doubt in anybody's mind, he was not talking about a Hebrew university at all. But here, a man started a sheker in 1928, and it continued in the 1980s and the 1990s here in Yerushalayim. I remember myself in the days where Elenu that I used to read the Atei, 2 years in a row. 2 years in a row, they had an article about Rav Kook, and Ki Mitzion takes a Torah at the opening of the Hebrew University. It was brought to their attention that it was a lie. Or was it brought to their attention? After they did it the first time, and then they did it the second time, precisely a year later, until finally the editor admitted, when shown all of the proof, in other words, what kind of proof did you need? Read the speech. Read the speech. It's not Hitler. And he agreed, yes, they made a big mistake. Write a retraction. So he comes back with an answer that the overseers of the Atei refused to permit them to print a retraction. The rabbinic board. Okay. But then, in the 90s already, this Rebbe in Yeshiva is repeating the same thing. Terrible, terrible Lashon Hara. Rav Kook, blind. He cooked, he couldn't even, he didn't know how to cook. He didn't know what to look at. So what I really want to do now is a few samples of the writings of Rav Kook that relate to this week's Sefer, and we're going to take a look at how blind was Rav Kook. You have your seatbelts on, we're going to go, and we're going to see how blind Rav Kook really was. Now, you have to follow my instructions here. Go on to the back page. The very back page. The three pages before it are a letter that was written by Rav Kook and published in Europe and sent out to the world. That letter was written in 1905 or 1906. We'll get back to the letter. But first, back page. Back page, all I have on the back page is, top of the page, we have the last two psukim in Yehi Chavod. Every morning we say Yehi Chavod. After Baruch Shamar, I think it is. Well, it depends whether you're Ashkenaz or Svari. But before Ashri, everybody says Yehi Chavod before Ashri. So here he is standing. I have to know that this Yehi Chavod is a collection of psukim from all over Tanakh. And it was added into the davening by the Gaonim, those who came and followed the period of the Talmudim and the Amoraim. The Gaonim are the ones that added those psukim. And they were following. Watch it, we say it every day. But maybe you'll say it now with a completely different fervor. Ki vacha Hashem mitzion evil emotion flow. For the Lord has chosen Jacob as his own. No. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He desired it for his dwelling. Ki vacha Hashem mitzion. God chose Zion. Evil. He desired it. Lemosha lo as a place for him to live. The next pasuk they put in over here. Ki Yaakov vacha lo kod. God chose Yaakov unto himself. Do you understand what's happening here? There are two choices that God made in this world that he created. He created a land for his dwelling, and he created a people to be his people. Ki Yaakov v'chalo ko, God chose. The Lord has chosen Jacob as his own. Yisroel nesfulato, Yisroel are his treasure. Two choices. And most probably the Golem want to tell us that the choices were made in this order. He chose Eretz Yisrael, and he chose Klal Yisrael. And what is his promise for all time? Ki lo yitosh Hashem amo, God will not abandon his people, v'nachalato lo yarazov, nor will he forsake his heritage. In this third pasuk, what happens is, the two come together, Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, and God gives the promise he will not forsake nor abandon them. These two are a unit. He chose, at the creation of the world, he chose Eretz Yisrael as his land. At Sinai, or maybe earlier from the time of Avraham Avinu, he had already chosen the Jewish people as his people. And these two come together, God will never abandon them. Now, the next selection is from Hodu. By the way, this is brought by Rav Cook in his Siddur called Olat Ne'iyah. Now, in Hodu, very beginning of davening, Zichru Olam Brito, remember his covenant forever. Dovar Tzivol Eladov, that which he commanded for 1,000 generations. What is it that you should remember? What covenant? What covenant are we talking about? Asher Karat at Avram, the covenant that he made with Avram, Ushuatol Yitzchak, and he made an oath to Yitzchak, Vayandel Yaakov Lechok, and for Yaakov it became a law. Rav Cook says that what's taking place over here is there is a progression. It's a covenant that's entered into between Avram and God. To Yitzchak, it becomes more than a covenant that now accompanied by an oath. And once it arrives at the third generation, Vayanidel Yaakov Lechok, once he makes the same promise of Eretz Yisrael to Yaakov, then it becomes a chok, a law. Law, call it a law of nature, a law in the world. Eretz Yisrael and Am Yisrael, one. Then it goes on to say, what was the covenant? Lamar, the covenant was saying, Lechoyatein Eretz Canaan, to you I will give the land of Canaan. Chevel Nachlatchem, that is your allotted heritage. That was the promise. Biyotcham Mitei Mispar Kimat V'Gonim Lo. You were then small in number, few. Biyotcham Mitei Mispar Kimat. Kimat over here really means in a very brief period of time, V'Gonim Lo, that you were living there. I made the promise that it's yours. Rav Cook writes in his Siddur the following. The relationship between every people on the face of this earth and the land in which they live, the one that becomes their native land. France for the French, England for the English, America for the Americans. This is never and has never been defined or arrived at in an instant of time. People have to begin to move there. They begin to have common goals, common objectives. They begin to have a common history. It can take hundreds of years until a land becomes the native land of any people, and so it was with every people on the face of this earth, except for one. They were but a few people, Kim'at. They were there for a little period of time, the Godly one, and it's already theirs. The bond was not created through the normal evolutionary process that every nation becomes tied to the land on which they live. This was instant because it was divine. Because it was divine. We say it every day in davening. These two sections, they have to become part of our consciousness. I mean, I did not have this intention when I worked on the shiur, but there's no question about it. Anybody who read the editorial in the Jerusalem Post yesterday must probably didn't even need the editorial in the Jerusalem Post. As far as President Obama is concerned, the history of the state of Israel started immediately after Auschwitz. There's no history. There are no 3,000 years. Jews suffered, terrible tragedy, they got a land. Palestinians suffered, they need a land. Lost are 3,000 years of Jewish history, that we had a commonwealth here even before Christianity or Islam even appeared on the face of this earth. All garnished in it. We will someday thank Obama for that. Because you know what it means? It means that our secular Jews are going to have to start looking back into the Tanakh, and they're going to have to tell Obama, wait a minute. We were born in Auschwitz. We weren't born in Auschwitz. We were born 3,000 years ago. You can't wipe out all that history in just one speech in Cairo. And therefore, we suffered a tragedy, so we deserve a land. If you suffer a tragedy, you deserve a land. We suffered Auschwitz, or Buchenwald, if you wish, and then we have a land. They suffered the Nakba, that we stole their land, so they too. Tragedy land, tragedy land. Nakba equals Holocaust. How can any intelligent man, and most probably it was written by his Jewish advisors. Wipe out 3,000 years of Jewish history. God doesn't exist. Unbelievable. This is the great speech that they worked on for who knows how long. A great speech. I'm beginning to feel a little better because I'm getting it out of my tissue. Now I want to take you, this is the main text. And I tell you, if we don't finish this today, there will be other times. We're going to go through this, understand? We're going to see how blind Rav Kook was. 1905 or 1906, he is writing this. Obama should have read this too. He'll know that we had a history of Eretz Yisrael long before the Holocaust. It's so poetic. Just follow me and let's just go. Eretz Yisrael, Rabotai. Eretz Yisrael. To Eretz Yisrael, Rabotai. Let's go. Et ha'kriya hazot nikra bekol echad. This cry, this call, we will all call it in one voice, bekol gadol, with a great sound, v'lo yasaf, unending. Unending. Bo le'eretz Yisrael achim ne'ilim. Come to Eretz Yisrael, you pleasant brothers. Bo le'eretz Yisrael. Hatzilu et nashotechem, save your lives. That never you don't take him and the lives of your generations. That never shamenu kulo save the lives of our entire people. Hatziluhu mikol tuma v'nisha. Save the Jewish people from all defilement and from all evil. You have to learn Rav Kook like it's a blat gemara. Tuma represents the spiritual danger of the exile. And Nisha represents the physical danger of the exile. One talks of assimilation and intermarriage, and the other speaks of Auschwitz. Mikol tzara v'tzukufa, every trouble and every travail. Shehu olol aleihem michol arzot amim, he says, this is very possible that it's going to happen to you in all of the lands of the nations. Believe, hevdel v'hevdesh, makes no difference which country it is. No difference. This can happen. The destruction of the Jewish people. Bo'u le'eretz Yisrael. Come to Eretz Yisrael. Nikro kol noram umarish. We will call that out with a voice full of fear and trembling. Bekol ram. sound of thunder, the chash gadol, and a great tumult. B'kol mecholel sado, we have to call it out with a voice that is like a storm. Umargin shomayim v'aretz, and it shakes the very heavens of the earth. B'kol korea kol kirot lev, a voice that tears all the walls of the heart. Hear what this man is writing to the Jews of Europe in 1905. Gedolei Yisrael weren't saying this in the 30s. There was no Hitler machshavei. He motu al nafshechem. Flee for your lives. Ubol Eretz Yisrael and come to Eretz Yisrael. Kol Hashem korei otanu. The voice of God calls unto us. Yado netuyalein. His hand is stretched out upon us. Rucho Hashem b'lovenu. His spirit that is in our heart. Hu mekabetz otanu. God wants to gather us in. Hu ma'odidenu. He encourages us. Hu machriach otanu kulonu. And he is also coercing all of us. Likrov the call, gadol, to call out in a great voice, Adir, Adir, mighty, Venora, and terrifying. Achenu b'nei Yisrael, our brothers, children of Israel. Achim, Avuvim, v'yikarim, beloved and precious brothers. Bo'u le'eretz Yisrael, come to Eretz Yisrael. Hiloktu echad le'echad, collect yourselves one by one, wherever you are. Al tamtinu, don't wait so that things should be in order or they may be official permission granted. Don't wait for all sorts of permission that will be granted that was come now. This is well before the Balfour Declaration. Balfour Declaration is going to be in 1917. Do what you can. He moldu. Flee, run, the chaos would be gathered in. Bo'u le'eretz Yisrael, come to Eretz Yisrael. Oh God, every time I read this, I think to myself, Shomu Shamayim, if Jews would have listened to this man's call, how different Jewish history would have been. If they would have listened to the call of the blind Rav Kook, who was able to say about the Hebrew University, Kibbutz Zion Teitzei Torah, what a shaker. This man had a clarity of vision unparalleled in the 20th century. Asum ashetoklu, himoltu, flee veyasu, solu, solu, hamasila, pave the road, ba'ad amenu, he'ahuv v'hanitka, for our people that is so beloved and so broken. Harlo befoal, show him with action, shedako pramuchenet, the way Teretz Yisrael is prepared. Hilufanavu slula, it's before you can do it. And it's paved, you can go, you can do it. Ein lo mavet rosh, there's nothing to look for, you don't have to seek anything. Ein lo drachem unetivim rabin, you don't have to ask how do I get there. So there aren't many roads going there. Everybody knows how to go. There is one road before us. And it's on that road that Klai Yisrael must go, is forced to go. Dafke, that's the road that you're supposed to take now. Hanitzonim niru baretz. You can see the blossoms in the land. The blossoms in the land. He's going to describe now how Eretz Yisrael is beginning to wake up and it's beginning to become fruitful. He was able to see it in 1905. We can see it now, but he saw it then. Hanitzonim niru baretz. The blossoms can be seen in the land. Bo achim yekarim, come, precious brothers, ru, and see. Eich shom shanat Yaakov matchilo lefroch, how the rose of Yaakov is beginning to blossom al admat HaKadosh, on the Holy Land. Bo lido, come see. Eich ruach Yisrael poreach, and the spirit of Israel is blossoming umit orer litchia and is awakening to a new life. L'chaim, l'kavod va'oz, for life, for honor, for strength. Hateidu atem? Achim ahuvim, do you know, beloved brothers? Achim umlalim. Unfortunate brothers, nebuch, nebuch. What was Russia and what was Poland? What were all of those countries? They, how Jews suffered. Yoshvei aratzot ma'apeliot, those who live in lands that are darkened. Et ha'otzer ha'godol shal ha'kedusha v'ha'menucha, one of the great treasure of sanctity and peace. Oneg v'shalva, delight and tranquility. Shel romut ha'ruach, all of that raised spirit v'shal gedulat ha'nefesh, and a great soul. Ha'otzer ha'godol, the great treasure of kedushat ha'chaim, the sanctity of life. Shel adinut ha'rayon, mighty thoughts. Vadinut ha'deish, and delicate feelings. Sheyesh b'chol leiv, shel yisro ha'yoshem b'eretz Yisrael. See all of that otzer, that all that treasure that resides in the heart of every Jew who lives in Eretz Yisrael. Hoy achim yekarim, oh, precious brothers, hatuchlu gam l'shayer afilu le'at ve'yarve michipat eretz chemdo. Can you even imagine even a little bit of the love of eretz chemdo, that desired land, chipas kodesh v'chemdas olamim, a love of that which is holy, a desire of that which is eternal. Ha'aretz ki tov, the land that is good, menucho kinoi. Can you imagine what it is, the delight and the pleasantness of what it means to be in Eretz Yisrael? Bo'ol Eretz Yisrael, come to Eretz Yisrael. Bo'uru, come and see. Hadar Eretz Kendo, the beauty of that desired land. Hadar HaKarmel v'HaSharon, Hadar Shmei HaTcheilet HaNaim v'HaYafim. Take a look at the beauty of the Carmel, the Sharon, the beauty of the crystal clear blue skies above. Ru'uat HaHadar HaAvir, take a look at the beauty of the air, HaTzach, that's clear, HaTahor, pure, U'memuzag, and temperate. HaSorer v'ho, Dov v'HaDaro, Gamvet Kufat Tevet. Says, even in the winter, Gamvet Kufat Tevet, there's a beauty to the land and there's a beauty to the air. Vei, Bo Uvihit Angu. He's appealing to every kind of feeling one may have. You know, if they're reading it over there in Russia, while the snow is already up to the second story, and they get a picture of the beautiful, warm, crystal clear sky above, and even in the middle of winter, they, how beautiful it is. Bo v'yit angu, come and have the delight, sisu masos al Eretz Chemdo, be full of joy about this Eretz Chemdo, hanor, beautiful, v'hamu unova, that is delightful, Eretz ha'chayim, she'avirahu chayei nishamot, the land of the living, whose air is not only good for the body, it's good for the neshama. Ma yofitu ma'am, how beautiful you are, and how delightful. Bo'ol Eretz Yisrael, come to Eretz Yisrael. Bo'uru, come and see. V'sos libchem, your hearts will be full of joy. V'atzmoteichem kadeshet tifrachna, and your bones will blossom forth like the grass. Bo'uru, come and see. Echameinu ha'ohuv ha'yakar, how our beloved and precious people, mechadesh kaneshet et ne'urav, is beginning to renew its youth like the eagle, beginning to soar. He saw this in 1905. In 1905. Wow. How often do we talk to people? Oh no, I can't live there. Oh no, the lifestyle. No, I can't. שלום ושמיים. איך הוא מתחיל פושט ברווחו את עצמותיו הכואבות והמפוצחות. He's describing what he sees in his mind's eye, how we're beginning to stretch our arms and bones that ache from all the years and goals. You understand? A good stretching. Ah, we're beginning to wake up. We're beginning to wake up. The bones that ache from the days of wandering and the bitter exile. Boru, come and see. Eich mitragelhu liskov katamaret komato. You should know his Hebrew just blows my mind away. And he talks about, he's really describing somebody who's getting up. Get up in the morning. First you start stretching. You know, we all know what it's about. Till finally you understand, you can put yourself together and stand up erect. Eich mitragelhu, how he's getting used to liskov katamara et komato, to stand erect like the date tree, the palm tree. Bo v'chushu, come and feel. Eichu ma'odei devrucho, how the land encourages the spirit of the man. B'zachro et chosno gono, because in Eretz Yisrael they begin to remember the strength and the genius of the Jewish people. And he remembers the beauty and the majesty of Eretz Yisrael. Al kol tzachashal, every step you take, every step you take. Bo mitanu, come and enjoy. Alei zichronos tovim miyayin hatov. Bring back to memory the memories of glorious days in Jewish history. Better than good wine. Hamagdilim et hanefesh, memories that make the soul great, umarchivim et hadad, and broaden man's mind. That's, by the way, so many of the phrases are taken even from Pesukim in Tanakh or from Gemara. Here, of course, the immediate association is the Gemara in Brachos for the end says, Shosho Dvarim, three things, marchivim, dato shalot. Broaden the mind. Isha Noah, Kalin Noyim, the Dira Noah. A beautiful wife. Kalin, objects, and an apartment. Zichronos Malachim Besarim, you have to remember. Kings and princes. That's right. Obama is telling all of these Chilani heads around here, you better start changing your whole narrative. The State of Israel didn't start at the first Zionist Congress. But they could get a lot of credit for taking a step that the religious community never took. And we're still paying for that tragic mistake. We should have come and we should have been the Balafatim. And we would have established, but you know what, I'm afraid to say, the Rebbein Shlom knew that what they can do, we can't do. He knew that if he has to establish a state, he's going to have to establish a state with a Ben Gurion. He knew it. We know it. We may not always be able to admit it, but we know it. Zichrono Giborim Rivian, the memory of Kibbutzim, mighty, strong people, prophets, Zechronot Tiferet Va'oz, the memory of beauty and strength, Gedula, greatness and hold, majesty. Ba'ul Eretz Yisrael, come to Eretz Yisrael. That amazing refrain. Come, Ba'ul Eretz Yisrael. Po Tiru Chazut HaKol, here you will see the vision of everything. Po Teidu Shatem Chaim, Chaim Shem, Ruhuyim Lishma, what a sense. Here you'll know that you're alive. You will know that you are living a life that you can call into be like. What does that recall to me? I told it to you before. I told you, you know what he's saying over here? What was said most probably nearly at the same time that he's writing this. It was said by Teddy Roosevelt. He who does not participate in the passion of his time will be judged as not having lived. He who does not participate in the passion of his time will be judged as not having lived. Do you see what he's saying over here? Pote du hu, here you will know shatem chayim, that you're living. Chayim shehim ruim l'shvam be'eretz ha'chayim. After now, he gives man to kumat ha'yahdut be'eretz Yisrael. Now has come the time for yahdut, Torah and Klal Yisrael to rise in Eretz Yisrael. Ha'hechrach, the necessity l'shum eretz avot to return to the land of the fathers, yakifet kol ha'matzavim shel umah. It's going to encompass all that makes up life. Ben ha'chomriyim, ben ha'ruchniyim, the physical needs of the Jewish people and the spiritual needs, ubiyoter ha'charonim. And more than anything else, the second one that he mentioned, the spiritual needs of Klal Yisrael are going to be met here in Eretz Yisrael. I think what he may have meant by this is to emphasize, don't think that your ruchnius is going to suffer if you come to Eretz Yisrael. Ha-ma-ha-pecha, he is writing it, there is a historic, here you get the historic context. Ha-ma-ha-pecha ha-rusit pa'ala b'tif'al al sakanat matzav ha-yadut b'knesset yiskol sheberusia. It was the time of the an attempt to bring down the Tsar, 1904-1905. So he says, that's not over yet. That revolution in Russia is ultimately going to work to the point that it's going to endanger the situation of Yiddishkeit in Russia. From there it will spread out and it will encompass the whole Jewish world. In direct relationship to the large number of Jews that are in Russia and are going to fall, and we're not yet by communism. We're about 15 years away from that yet. But he sees it already. Ulay ot yotemi mashe pol al hara al adat ha'yadut hamapecha atzorfatit. He says it most probably will have more far-reaching negative effect on the Jewish people, far worse than the Russian Revolution. The French Revolution. The French Revolution was not good for the Jews. The French Revolution, in a sense, began the spirit of enlightenment and too much freedom of all sorts. As we've seen how one thing has led to another from the time of the French Revolution until now, to our days. There was a great power in our world. We had an anchor in our world. We had a power. That power was the power of Russian Jewry. Russian Jewry was overwhelmingly religious Jews. We're talking about one of the biggest blocks of religious Jews in the world. We once had that, but he says we're not going to have that anymore. Ato nomo v'holeichu ha'yisod ha'adir hazeh. It's receding. It's continuing to recede. That great power, Russian Jewry. You know, nowadays when you talk about Russian Jewry, you think about post-communist Russian Jewry. He's talking about Russian Jewry then, that was the Pe'er and the Hadar, the beauty and the majesty of the Jewish world. You had Poland, you had Litva, you had the Ukraine, the birthplace of Hasidus, the birthplace of the Yeshivas, what Russia was. That big Russian bear encompassed so much of Jewish power, all the great names of cities and Gaonei Olam and Hasidic houses. That was all Russia, Poland, Ukraine, all of that. And he says that that's going to recede. It's going to weaken and continue to weaken. V'chol ze mevi lanu machshavah macharidah miyod. All of this brings to us a thought that is terrifying. Avol gam ken hechrech lahasev einenu lekeren hora. At the same time that we think and we tremble about what's happening in our Jewish world now, it also must cause us to take a look at the one place where there is light. May Eid Golinu Yatzeinu, from the time that we were exiled from our land, Holcha HaTorah Mishchol Bagola Torah, accompanying the Jewish people throughout the exile. Nodadot Torah wandered from Bavel, L'Tzarat to France, L'Sfarat to Spain, L'Ashkenaz to Germany, L'Polin, L'Rusia, L'Od. V'atah ma'nismach l'uchal lomar shehishova l'nekamah harishah. Oy, how happy we will be if we will be able to say that after all the wanderings, Torah is finally returning to its home. L'nekamah harishah, Teretz Yisrael. L'Eretz Yisrael, Yachad, together in Yisrael. Ha'olechu mitrabeh al admat ha'kodesh. He sees, they're continuing to expand and grow al admat ha'kodesh. 1905. Gosh, you see what's going on over here in this country today? Him and Rabbi Akiva. You know, they're the ones I would love to see. Walk through the streets of Yerushalayim with Rabbi Akiva. Not sure, my right arm or my left arm around one of them, my other arm around the other. Walk with them through the streets of Yerushalayim. Wow. The Atah now. This, for this sentence, I wanted to learn this. Mihu ha'iver shelo yir'eh bazeh yad Hashem hanoheget otam. Who is the blind one that cannot see in this the hand of God that's leading us? 1905. Take a look at all the guys walking around with their noses down to the ground on Yom HaTzmaut and Yom Yerushalayim. It's the Sidracha, it's the Sabbath, it's this, it's that, it's the Chmayim of Ben Gurion. Me, who's the blind one? Who's the blind one who does not see in all of this the hand of God that is leading us? And they have the chutzpah to say about Rav Kook that he was blind at the dedication, April Fool's Day, 1925. He said about the Hebrew University, Ki Mitzion Teitzei Torah, Udvar Hashem Yusham. What a terrible, terrible, terrible lie. And you know what's terrible about lies? They take on a life of their own. I had also been involved in a little way about the another Meitzu Shemra. I'm a great rabbi living right now in Eretz Yisrael, and I went to him and I asked him a number of questions. The man didn't have a clue what I was talking about. Something that he was accused of. Yes. Somebody made it up. There are people out there who have very vivid imaginations and they make it up. Do you understand the extent to which this is related? It's Parsha Shlach. The Meraglim were blind. The Meraglim came back and spoke Lashon Hara. The worst Lashon Hara of all. How many times have we said the great Meshech Chachma? There were two sins that the Jewish people committed in the desert. The sin of the Egel, the golden calf, idolatry, and the sin of the Meraglim. God forgave them the sin of the Egel, but did not forgive them the sin of the Meraglim. Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara on Eretz Yisrael. God doesn't forgive. I got to read that again. Where it says that seven over there. Mihu ha'iver, who is the blind one? Shelo yid'eh b'zeh, doesn't see in the process that's taking place now in 1905 and 1906. Yad Hashem hanoheget otam, the hand of God that leads us. Umi lo yachush chova, who will not feel an obligation la'atzmo, to himself, l'hiyoto el im el, to work together with God. He knew exactly what was going on in the Jewish world. There were going to be those who said, no, we're not working together with the Kohanim. We're not going to work together with those Shemarat Tzayinikis. No, 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 this is God who's doing it. And if you go to Eretz Yisrael and you assist in the building up of the country, you're working with the Rebbein Shem himself. Umin lo yochush chovah, who will not feel an obligation to himself, liyot toel, to work in mail with God? Vatido bat kol liyot futzetzet b'roshe ha'arim v'omeret. Oy, there's going to be a divine voice that's going to blast through the heavens one day, and that divine voice is going to say, kol mi shepa'al in eil, whoever worked together with God, Yavovi told Schoro, let him come and take his reward. Mi yuchali pater mi sadev mi tzido, tosefet bracha umehidut Yeshua. Who is it that would want to be free from doing something that adds blessing and can more swiftly bring our salvation? Lo reu bot rabot lashul admat hakodesh, to arouse hearts to turn to come back to Abbat HaKodesh, l'nachalat Hashem. Understand, it's a great mitzvah to encourage people to come on Aliyah, l'heyachez bo, to take hold of the land, l'yashvo ba'asokim u'bibinyanim, to settle the land with businesses and buildings, b'kniyat karkaot, buying land, b'nitiyot, with planting, b'zriya, Nitiot is planting saplings and planting seeds. Ubechol dovra shehu mekor chayei yishuv nachon. He has everything figured out. He has everything figured out. He's not going to call the Jews to come. He'll tell them later, there's an interpreter here. That in the businesses, you'll be able to get involved in doing all sorts of things. Gedola aleinu achovo, great is our obligation. Lo'orer et ha'ahava yishamal etzion, to awaken that old love for Tzion. Ha'ahava nitzchit, the eternal love. Sheka'oz miyom mikedem, as it was in the early days, came after now. Bo'eret hi b'libat eish kodesh. That love is some place there. It burns in with a holy fire. B'levav b'nei ameinu b'chol makom shem, in the hearts of the people of our nation, wherever they are. Oleinu l'lchom b'chol oz. Okay. Here is, I said before, I'm going to say it again, you'll see. But this is why I'm learning it now. Oleinu l'lchom b'chol oz, we have to wage war with all our strength. B'sina eretz hakodesh, against those who express hatred for the Holy Land. She'etchilo l'hinkanes, that hatred has already begun to enter into the minds and hearts of individuals in our midst. We have to destroy it with the spiritual strength, with eternal holiness. The poison of the Baratlin has to be removed. Oh, this is so sad. He's describing the period of time in which he's living as the time has come for God to grace the land. And precisely at this moment, what he's going to call Miragliot begins to be awakened in the hearts of people. We have to uproot it. We have to destroy it. We didn't succeed in doing that. And what it caused, so they show up. What we lost because of that. It's just that's where the Satan is. The Satan is the one who doesn't want Jews to come back to Eretz Israel. So just at the moment that everything is beginning to look great, we have a chance now. We haven't had a chance in 2000. We have a chance now. That hatred to Eretz HaKodesh. Dafke b'moed l'chenenot, dafke at the time when Eretz Yisrael is beginning to show its grace. It has begun to be awakened. Ma'at HaMeragliot, this is a word that he created, this meragelness or meragelhood, he mitabeket b'she'edet kocha, she is wrestling with the whatever leftover strength she has. Omnam nuchal lomar b'bitcha b'go'on shem Hashem l'kei olam ha'bochei be'eretz chemda. We can say with absolute certainty, with the pride of God, the Eternal, who chooses the Eretz Chemda, this land, Shehamaragliyot v'mavaka domeh lehitamtzut ha'achrona shel ha'ptila ha'michnaseit l'mala, terem tichbe kolil. He says that we can say with absolute certainty that our battle against Meragliyot is like the fight with a candle that's fighting to stay on, and we're gonna put it out. This was wishful thinking. That was wishful thinking. That wasn't so. He couldn't see, and maybe that's why, is it possible that's why Moshe couldn't imagine that there would be Meraglim who would come back and speak ill of the land? Rav Kook couldn't see that Jews are going to really, really turn into Meraglim all over again. Unfortunately that happened. Unfortunately it still exists. And then another unfortunate thing. One can live in Eretz Yisrael and be a Meraglim. You don't have to live in Chutzart to be a Meraglim. I can't end not on that note. Avas Tzion, Yerushalayim, Torutz, Orchot, Toir, Kashemish, Bivurata. Ultimately, the love of Eretz HaKodesh is going to continue to run, and it will shine like the sun at its great strength. And then the last few lines. Until Avodot HaHava, the love is going to bring them all, Kol Banel, Le'eretz Chemda, all of our children, to the Eretz Chemda, Le'beit Chayayim, Dvar Elokeinu Yakom La'olam, ultimately God's word. Can I just have your attention for a moment? There's a woman that I know. There's a woman that I know who does all sorts of mitzvahs. Big mitzvahs. I'm giving her 3 minutes to speak to you. By the way, I had better give her 3 minutes to speak to you, because her daughter is married to my son. You don't want to come between a man and his machatenister, but she is really a Mrs. Gemilas Peser. Esther, it's all yours.
Thank you.
You're not going to be on the...
I ask you to please not leave before we are finished with this, because this is a life. Oh, yeah, right. Right.
Good. You have to take over.
Thank you very much, Reb Sholom Gold.
I really appreciate this opportunity, because there is a baby, 5 months old, pregnancy, who the parents are so desperate that they are ready, at least they're talking about it, to do an abortion. Horrible, horrible. And this is a family I have known, for a few years. And the situation is such as this. They are both returning to Tshuva as a result of my relationship with them, and they are simply desperate financially because of this. He is a taxi driver, and he has somehow had terrible mazel. Says to me, Esther, since I have started to keep mitzvot, things are getting worse and worse. What does Hashem want from me? And he
He has a taxi, and he's been trying to make a living with that.